Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Even though I've made bad decisions, I've never not grown from them, even if they didn't work out the way I ultimately hoped that they would.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast where we talk about all things change, big changes, little changes, complete life changes. I am Lisa Oz.
And I am Jill Herzig. We live in an age, we were just discussing this, where entrepreneurialism is so celebrated in our culture, as it should be. And as I sort of went through my big job shift, I kept thinking to myself, well, maybe I should start something. That seems to be the thing to do. It's all about entrepreneurs. And I had this, you know, moment where I looked deep in my soul and I thought, Jill, you're just not an entrepreneur. Do you feel like you're an entrepreneurial person, Lisa?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I haven't launched anything yet. Let's put it that way. But that doesn't mean I don't think I have it in me. I have like this fantasy of an inner entrepreneur.
I don't know. I see you. I see your hand in many things that have launched, but maybe we won't go into that.
Well,
into that history.
Our guest today is a master entrepreneur. She is the founder of Aiden and Anae, which is for all of you who have had children who are under 18, or probably 16, the go-to baby swaddling blanket. She's also the author of What It Takes. How I Built a $100 Million Business Against the Odds. Regan Moya-Jones, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so Aiden and Anae is iconic, and I only know about it because I'm a grandmother, and
right.
I have little grandkids from 5 down to 1, and they don't come anywhere without stacks of these swaddling blankets.
Right.
Tell us about Aiden and Anae, how it started, what caught you into this business. What was the birth of this baby?
Well, the birth was really the actual birth of Anae, who is my eldest of 4 daughters. So she was really the impetus for starting Aiden and Anae, because I went looking for a blanket that was very common back home in Australia, these muslin blankets, we called them wraps back there. And to my surprise, they didn't exist here in the US. And I just thought, how the hell do American parents have babies without this stuff? Because I know you've seen them with your grandchildren use them for so many things, to wrap the baby as stroller shades, as burp cloths, as tummy time blankets, as nursing covers, just multiple uses. So I really just didn't understand how American parents got by without them.
And I thought, I can attest, having had a baby who did not sleep well, I was relying on to swaddle, which is basically just to tightly wrap them so they don't wake themselves up by startling all the time, which they do.
They do.
I just hoarded all the hospital blankets,
right,
which were made out of flannel and didn't work anywhere near as well. I didn't know the product I was dreaming of, but it was your blanket.
Right.
The whole
time. Existed.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't invent it. I remember it being around in Australia since I was born in the 60s. You know, it's a very, very common product over there, very utilitarian, sold in pharmacies and supermarkets.
We just didn't have it.
No one else in the world had it.
Well, they're in the Bible. I mean,
exactly.
Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and
yes.
laid in a manger, so they've been around for a long time.
Yes. From my understanding is that muslin originated in Bangladesh, you know, eons ago. So the fabric itself has been around for a very long time as well.
So you said, oh my gosh, how am I going to have a baby without a muslin blanket?
Correct.
Most people would have called their mother back in Australia and said, Mom, can you send me a box of these swaddling?
Keep them coming. I want to give
muslins.
Some to my friend.
Right.
Yeah. They wouldn't have started a whole business around it. How did that happen?
Well, I did do that, but it was actually my sister that I called because she had a baby 6 months before I had an A. So she was sort of my go-to for all things that I needed to know and understand. But I just thought because the reason that I was able to do this was simply because I was an Aussie transplanted into the US. That's just, Aidan and Anae wouldn't exist if I had never moved out of my home country into the States and then had my baby here. So I did call Paige and I did say to her, can you please send me some muslin blankets, which she did. And then I just thought, there was an opportunity. I saw an opportunity in America because I knew that once American parents understood what this was and what it did, they wouldn't be able to have babies without it as well. So,
you already had a career. You were, you know, it sounded like you were kind of knee deep in a job as well. So there had to be something that made you think, I'm going to make this leap. I'm going to leave this career and I'm going to do this baby blanket thing.
Right. So I think having lived what I've lived over the last 12 years, having had the idea for Aidan and A and then getting it to where we are today, I think I was always a little bit bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. I wasn't aware that's what it was back then, but I do distinctly recall having ideas for businesses throughout my life and ranging from importing jewelry from Bali and opening coffee shops and opening I just always had a desire, I think, to work for me rather than somebody else. So I'd had multiple ideas over the years, but none of them really, when I thought long and hard about it, were viable. So Aidan and Anae and the hole that I saw in the market for these muslin blankets was the first, upon further inspection, seemed like a viable business idea that I could start and grow and scale into something meaningful.
It seems from the outside, for those of us who aren't entrepreneurs or launching our own ventures, that you have to be sort of risk averse when you do this sort of thing. How big a role does being open to risk play? And would you, for people who are a little afraid of risk, would you say don't bother?
Actually, that is one of the biggest fallacies around entrepreneurs. We are not risk takers. We are very cautious people. There's lots of research around that. And I talk about that actually quite a bit in the book. And I definitely took risks. You have to be successful, but I never took them without a whole lot of thought going into what I was ultimately going to do. So I like to refer to myself as a cautious risk taker, if that makes sense. So a perfect example is I didn't leave my day job until I had got Aidan and Anae to $1 million in revenue. So I stayed working full-time at the Economist Group from the idea in 2003. It took till 2006 to actually work out how to make the product and get it to market. And then I stayed working at my day job till May of 2009.
Where I think say your boss once told you didn't have an entrepreneurial bone in your body.
That is a direct quote. And at the time,
someone needs to get that tattooed on themselves.
And at that time, I had already hit $1 million in revenue. So the joke was on him, really. Yeah. But that's a perfect example of actually not taking the risk. I wasn't prepared to put unnecessary financial pressure on my family. My salary still mattered. You know, I wasn't married to a hedge fund husband who had more money than, and I didn't need to work. I needed to work. So I decided to play it safe. And when you actually look at Warby Parker, did the same thing. They didn't just quit their day jobs. They straddled both. And I talk about that in the book too. One of their Harvard professors, who they asked to actually invest in the business early on, didn't think they were going to be successful because they weren't all in out of the gate.
That was Adam Grant, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was one of our first interviewers. Yeah.
Yes, and
he talked
that.
About that, actually.
He admitted. One of the biggest mistakes he's ever made, right?
Yeah, so, I think he tries hard not to think about it.
as I would as well.
But okay, so if you don't really need to be a risk taker, if that's a fallacy, what do you need?
Well, it's not that you don't need to be a risk taker, that you do have to take risks to be successful. I think in business, in your career, everything, you know, if you play it safe always in life, how far do you really get? So, but this notion that we are crazy risk takers as entrepreneurs is just not true. Mm-hmm. What I believe is the most important thing, and one of the main reasons I wrote the book, because when I was originally approached to write the book, I said no, because I don't have a business degree. I'm not particularly smart. I'm definitely not educated.
I thought, issue with that last one, but go ahead.
But I'm street smart. I'm not book smart. You know, I don't have a degree or anything like that. And I thought, well, what business do I have telling people how to run a business? And then my now agent was the one who said to me, well, you've kind of done it, so you... And then I started to think about it, and I thought, well, there is the crux of the book. If I can do it, anyone can do it. And I started to think about what it was that made me successful, and I really think the main thing that led to the success of Aiden and Anae was a combination of incredibly hard work. I worked harder than I ever thought I was capable of working. A true passion for what I was doing, so I really believed in it. And a whole lot of humility to be acutely aware of what I didn't know. And I was very happy to surround myself with much smarter people that knew a whole lot more than me and be comfortable with that. And I think that was ultimately the combination of those things is what led to the huge success of Aiden and Anae.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the resilience that is necessary with success.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
We've been chatting with Regan Moya Jones, the author of What It Takes, How I Built a $100 Million Business Against the Odds. You told us about how you built Aiden and Anae, and then it sounds like you say, oh, I, you know, built a $100 million company. It sounds like it's all roses and buttercups and everything's wonderful. And yes, cha-ching, $100 million. But there were a lot of bumps in the road. There were several, but I just want to start with two, I think, traumatic events. One was you had a cancer scare, and the other was your partner turned on you.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just tell us about those incidents a little bit?
Sure. So, I'm loath to call it a cancer scare because I have friends who have gone through the real deal cancer with chemo and all the rest of it.
Right.
Basically what happened is my dermatologist, who I've been seeing for many, many years, found something that didn't look good on my chest and said I needed to have it biopsied, which I did, and it turned out to be a malignant melanoma. And it was the size of a pinhead, and I ended up having to have surgery where they cut to the bone, and, you know, because melanoma has the tentacles, and I ended up with 38 stitches. And I wasn't ready for it. And during that time, about 2 weeks before that, I was diagnosed with that and went through that. And it was a very short period of time. It was from diagnosis to the surgery to being told I was okay was about 5 days. So it was very fast.
But potentially life-altering, I mean, or perspective-altering.
Oh, yes. And it was ultimately life-altering anyway, because I went, well, I need to calm down here, because I'm a big believer in stress manifests physical things in your body and all of that. So it did sort of slap me upside the head a little bit, where I went, you know, calm down, Reagan, these are baby blankets. Like, let's get this in perspective. So it was actually a good thing, you know, that it ultimately happened. But during the same time, about 2 weeks prior, my very good friend, and that's the hardest part, and my business partner, who co-founded the company with me, had sent me an email saying that she didn't believe in the business anymore. She wanted out, a terms sort of listed out of what she, how much money she wanted, the time frame she wanted it. Sort of, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't talk to me. We never spoke another word to each other after she sent that email, despite me trying.
So essentially you went through a terrible divorce.
Horrible, you know. And as I said, it was heartbreaking because first and foremost, she was my friend. So, and a very good friend. And so it was a pretty tumultuous time, and I didn't have enough money to buy Claudia out. So then I had to scramble and try and find other people that would roll the dice on me and what I was doing with Aiden and Anae.
Who did you find?
Three friends.
Yeah.
I realized not everybody has the luxury of living in New York and having a lot of friends who are bankers and things like that. So they were three women that, one I'd worked with at The Economist, another one I'd met through an Australian connection, and then it was really a friend of one of the other friends of mine that were an investor. So those three women came in and effectively bought 49% of to buy Claudia out. But it was horrible.
And so that's a really dark time, obviously, that you went through. And it
so,
I mean,
bad.
You mentioned the word heartbreak, and I have to say, in reading your book, that was one of the big takeaways for me, was that you've got to be ready, almost in the same way you have to when you invest in a relationship. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know heartbreak is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost
a probability,
made it seem as
actually.
It is, yes. I mean, I don't want to say certainty.
Yes.
But you're going to get your heart knocked around for sure. So Lisa mentioned resilience. How do you find that resilience in yourself to get back up from a time like that?
It's not easy. And I definitely got very shaky through that, where I started to really question whether or not I should keep going with this, whether I had what it took to keep going with this. But ultimately, I just dug very deep. For me, it was as much about the fact that I'd come so far and been through so much, and the thought of giving up at that point would have negated everything that I'd already been through, which sort of didn't sit well with me. But at the end of the day, it was probably my husband who gave me the final push. And I remember one day saying to him, I don't know if I can do this. I think I've bitten off more than I can chew with everything that's coming at me. Maybe this is the universe just telling me to give it a miss. And he said to me, do you believe in the business? And I said, well, yes, I always have. And he said, then fight for it, because if you don't and you walk away from this, I think the pain of that would be worse than trying to pick yourself back up and keep going, even if you do fail having done that.
You mentioned your husband, and in your book, you also talk about the strain that building this business put on your marriage and how you were able to work through that as mm-hmm. a couple. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, definitely it was the strain of the business, but had I been in a corporate career and the pressure of that, so I don't want to in any way imply that it was the stress of the business alone that put the pressure on. We also had four kids and two dogs and live in New York City, so there was a whole lot going on, you know, and we didn't talk a lot once I sort of got into Aidan and Anae about the business. And turns out that upset Marcos, because he wanted to talk about it and support me when I was going through the bad stuff, whereas I didn't want to bring it home. I wanted to leave the work stuff at work, and when I was home, I wanted to put the Reagan mum hat on and be there for my family. I didn't want to be talking about the crappy thing that had happened in the business that day or whatever. So he was a huge catalyst in sort of getting me through the hard times, because he saw it. He saw the warts and all. You know, if you've got a partner, you know that they tend to see the really bad stuff, right, that you reserve often for them. So it wasn't easy. He more so decided that it wouldn't be good if we worked together. He actually said to me, when I once suggested perhaps he should leave his job and come and work at Aidan and A because timing didn't work out for a holiday, he looked at me, he said, are you a mental person? He said, you're already the CEO of the house. I'm not going to let you be the CEO of my career as well. So he had the common sense to, you know, deflect that when I was having a moment. But it's still not easy. You know, I don't run Aidan and Anae anymore, but your partnership, lots of kids, lots of pressure. I remember once being told that, you know, if you stop working at a job or a career, you'll ultimately get fired, right? If you stop working at a marriage, it's going to end badly.
Yeah.
You know, it's constant work. So we do the best we can, despite it sometimes not looking very pretty.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that, because that's true. And I love when people bring the tea. So you talked about the fact that you no longer work at Aidan and Anae.
Mm-hmm.
That is also a tough story.
Horrible.
and you don't spare.
No, because
spare the details, because I guess you feel people need to know. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
I think in society today, in the crazy world of social media and everyone trying to put perfection out there, which we all know is not true, which is even more infuriating in a different podcast, but when you have four daughters and you're trying to explain to them, it's not real, very tough. But I sold my business to a private equity firm in 2013 and then bought back in a meaningful way to my own business. At the time, I was told that I was going to continue to run it as the CEO. It was going to continue to be my vision. They were there as, you know, financial support to scale the business and offer support in the areas that, as you're scaling at the rate that Aidan and Anae was, you often need help and guidance. Well, very long story short, we did not see eye to eye, and that became pretty clear very early on. And ultimately, in 2016, when we purchased another company, they called me. They didn't even give me the courtesy of meeting me in person to tell me that they were moving me out as the CEO because they needed a superstar CEO to run the company, and I didn't fit that bill. So that hurt. And then in last year, March 2018, they ultimately fired me from the company completely, because I'm not really a shrinking violet, so I was kind of pretty honest about the fact that I didn't agree with the direction they were taking it.
Well, I love that you had that fight in you.
Well, when we come back, we will learn what happens when being fired drives you to drink.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
We've been chatting with Regan Moya Jones, the founder of Aiden and A, and the author of the new book, What It Takes, How I Built a $100 Million Business Against the Odds. That number is still staggering. So we're talking about how, Regan, you were fired from your own company, which is like being kicked out of the house by your baby. And I can see many people would probably have just packed up their bags, been happy with the fact that they had done very, very well and been successful and called it a day.
Mm-hmm.
You gave birth again, but mm-hmm. this time to something a little more grown up and adult. Can you tell us a bit about your new project?
Sure. Well, having spent most of last year in a very big hole, I just want your listeners to know that I didn't just bounce right back. There was definitely a grieving period and getting used to not living and breathing this business that I had done so for almost 12 years. And a friend of mine and a colleague at Aiden and A, who also got he actually resigned, but knowing full well the writing was on the wall for him as well. It was his idea to start a moonshine company, to which I originally said, are you a mental person? Moonshine, I'm not getting it. But
can you play the banjo?
No, I didn't understand it. I didn't. And then on further discussion with David, he pointed out that you should do what you know and do what you love. And we both know and love booze, although my drink of choice is usually wine and champagne, but that's a whole other story.
All three of us are soul sisters on this, by the way, sitting at this table.
And even back then when he came to me with this idea, he said, I've got our next business idea, let's do moonshine. And I said, why? And he said, well, it's a relatively unsaturated category within a very big liquor industry, obviously, and no one's really done anything much with that category. And so then I started to think about it, and I did find similarities. Everyone laughs hard when I tell them this, between muslin blankets and moonshine when I started to really think about
it. Do tell.
Well, it was really about the fact that muslin existed. It just didn't exist the way I had it perceived in my head. So, for instance, the muslin in Australia was primarily white, sold, as I said, into very basic. It was like a nappy, a diaper. Mm. And I just thought, well, it can be beautiful as well as practical. So then I started to think about the same with moonshine. It's primarily a liquor that is just super high alcohol content that serves the purpose of getting people smashed.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, what if we turned that on its head and created a high-end moonshine that is designed to really taste good, that's served in five-star bars and restaurants and, you know, is known for the actual taste and flavour of the alcohol as much as the fact that it's a high alcohol content. And as I said to David, yes, we could do something with that. I said, but the problem there is you and I haven't got a freaking clue how to make high-end moonshine. We don't even know how to make bad moonshine, let alone. And that's when
I thought you were going to say that every new mother should have a still set up in the basement.
Well, there is
you
that
had
too.
One.
And I do say that for mothers of multiple children, the transition from baby blankets to booze is not a big jump,
no.
Really. You get it. And that's when, for all intents and purposes, our distiller, who was out of Memphis, literally fell out of the sky. He just sort of appeared out of nowhere in one of those life moments where it was such a slap upside the head with the universe telling me this moonshine thing is 100% where you need to go next.
You had that with the Chinese baby blanket manufacturer,
I did.
Too. You've had these, like, are people just popping into your life? Yeah.
And I do, I'm a big believer in manifestation. I believe the energy you give out, you get back, both good and bad. And I've experienced both ends of it over the last few years. And this guy had been tinkering with a recipe, a moonshine recipe, for over a decade. He's a chemist, a chemical engineer, as well as someone who'd grown up in the South and was playing around with stills and everything. And he really did have an incredible moonshine recipe. And we've already won a gold and a silver medal for the liquor in world spirit competitions.
It's not very old.
We've only been on the market since May 1. but we're already in Jean Georges restaurants, so
wow.
We've already accomplished the five. We're on
winning
the,
over Jean Georges to moonshine.
Exactly. You
that's,
know, it's
quite
great
an
when
achievement.
I walk into, you know, Jean Georges and I see it on the shelf there. I'm like, wow, we actually did this. Employees only have put it on their first moonshine ever to go into employees only.
Fantastic.
Will you do the sales yourself? Do you walk
yes.
into a bar and say,
I am,
guys, I've got this beautiful bottle of St. Luna right here.
I am so
back in the
trenches.
And that is the name for everybody, by the way. It is St.
Luna. Luna Spirits, yes. And yes, I am so back in the trenches with my little backpack and moonshine, walking the streets of New York City, trying to convince people to buy it, lugging boxes out of trade shows. So yes, I've gone from the CEO of a $100 million business to the girl pounding the pavement again to try and spread the word on moonshine.
But that's so lovely. I mean, it seems as though ego has never played a huge role in your career.
Oh, no. I'm Australian. You're not allowed to have an ego as an Aussie. Doesn't work. They disown you.
Ego just gets in the way
it
sometimes.
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
And look, and I love the building part. That was always the fun part, the innovation, the building, the creating. So I'm enjoying it.
What advice would you give your daughters when they are facing challenges and obstacles and going after their dreams? What kind of advice would you give them?
And I already give it to them because you've got to start early now, right? My youngest is 9. My oldest is about to be 16. And I just tell them that, and I really believe this, anything you want badly enough, if you believe in yourself and believe in what you want and you're prepared to work really hard to get it, you can have it. That's what it's about. It's about self-belief and the willing to work hard to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish.
And are you seeing that shape them already? Are you seeing that in them, that willingness to work and that belief in their...
No.
What they want.
I've teenagers. I'm hard pressed to get them off their phones and out of their bedroom.
Yeah.
But I'm still holding out a whole lot of hope that if it's I keep instilling it that once their brains actually get past this madness of teenage years and the crazy hormones, it'll be ingrained in them. And
it's in there already somewhere.
But the difference between you and I would assume your daughters. I don't know your daughters. But it sounds like they're, I'm wondering what role adversity played in your success, because you didn't have the kind of upbringing that you're giving your children.
No.
And so you're much more probably scrappy than your kids.
In fact, you were kind of a wild child.
I was.
Yeah.
I'm kind of still a wild woman, but I just have to tone it down.
So do you think having to struggle makes you more resilient and makes you fight more for what you want? And
I
is that an obstacle we have with our kids being successful?
I do. I definitely think that, and I try very hard, despite the fact that the girls have been born into the family that they've been born into, and they're by default, you know, reaping the benefits of their dad and my hard work and success. But I do try very hard to show them that it's not easy. When they ask me for $10 I always say, and they're so over me, but I always say, do you know how hard people have to work for $10? I said, and that's really $20 that you have to earn, because the tax man takes half. You know, and every chance I get, I explain to them that through college, we'll get you there. After college, I'm having these, and you should have seen my 8-year-old's head spin around on her shoulders when she heard she actually had to pay rent for her room once she got to college. She's, wait,
yeah.
I have to pay to live here? I said, eventually, so I'm constantly trying to give them those life lessons, but I also know and believe 100% that living it through experience is very different than having a mum and a dad telling you these things. Because my husband's, you know, he was an immigrant into Australia. He's from Chile. And he arrived, he lived in a hostel for the first year of his life in Australia. His mum and dad cleaned toilets to make ends meet. So we both came from very sort of, let's say, humble backgrounds, Marcos more so than I. So we do try very hard to remind the girls that what they have is extraordinary and not normal.
Well, I'm sure you are a huge inspiration to your daughters, as you are to us. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I've had a great time.
If you want to connect more with Regan, you can go to stlunaspirits.com.
Yes, and thanks from me too. And thanks to all of you for joining us. Thanks, as always, to Alicia Haywood, our amazing producer. We will be with you again soon.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.